in-depth and God-filled conversations with some of the brightest names in contemporary Christian music and worship. This is The Artist Interview with Gordon T.
And welcome to this week's episode of The Artist Interview. I'm your host, Gordon T, and it's my absolute privilege and pleasure to scour the world of contemporary Christian music and worship to bring to you some of the very talented artists, amazing stories, and wonderful music to share too. And this week, we've got someone who's not been on the show before. I've just realised, I really hope that I say his surname right, but because I don't know, but maybe he'll correct me in a moment. It's Mark Allen Schoolmeisters. I don't know, we'll find out shortly. But first of all, let's hear this first track, which is from Revere. It's from their new live album called The Mystery of Christ, and the track's called All Hail. And that was All Hail from Revere. Hey, Mark Allen, how are you doing?
So good to be with you today. You said my name right.
Did I?
Yes. Yes, Schoolmeisters.
Schoolmeisters.
Mark Allen Schoolmeisters. Yep. It's German, it's Dutch.
Oh, Dutch. Do you speak Dutch?
Unfortunately, I don't. I wish I did.
Oh, the end of that conversation there. So we won't go there. Lots of listeners in the UK will be familiar with numbers of the artists on the Revere project. Mm. And I'd love to find out loads about that in a moment and tell us about the album. But before you do that, would you be happy to share your own personal story of your walk, how you became a Christian and how you came to become a Christian musician?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I grew up in a Christian family, Gordon. And as far as I can remember, as far as I can recall, I made a decision to follow Jesus when I was 4. That was where my first moment realizing I had a great grandmother who passed away. And in a conversation with my mom, I said, "What happens now?" And I had this whole conversation with her, and she unpacked what it meant to put my trust in Jesus. And that was the beginning of me beginning to trust Jesus. And I started singing and playing music along the way. But it was in my high school years that it moved from just the assurance of my salvation and my eternity to really learning what it means to walk with Jesus. And that was us going through some really difficult times as a family. We went through some hardship. And it was then that my faith had to really become real. And I watched my parents go through a real season of brokenness. And then in the years that followed, I watched God restore their marriage. And I had this realization partway through that God reminded me, he said, "Just because I healed their marriage does not mean that you've allowed me to heal your heart." And so I went through this process of learning what it means to actually live with an open heart before the Lord. When I was a teenager a few years earlier, I wrote my first song. And it was around the time that my grandfather passed away. And that became the discovery for me of writing songs, like I think what David did, where he kind of would psalm, he would just pour out his heart to the Lord. And writing songs has become, since I was a 10, 12, 13 year old, the way that I process life before the Lord. And so through that season of hardship as a family in my late teens, I really leaned into Jesus in a way that I couldn't have done before without having to walk through some trials and hardships. And so, you know, for me, I spent my teenage years and my 20s pursuing music, writing music, being an artist, producing music. And then there was a point where God kind of arrested me and he said, "You need to quit striving and you need to be faithful where I've planted you and trust me with the rest." And it was a period, I was about 24 years old at the time. And at that point in time, I was opening for artists and touring and all the things. And literally overnight, that just shifted. And I moved into just being present in a local church. And the next 8-9 years was just in a local church and then in another local church for another 9 years. And in that process, it's been incredible because there were things that in my 20s that I had believed, I had seen pictures of what I had sensed God had called me to. And I thought in my 20s, my responsibility was to pursue it and to make it happen. And then when I learned to let go and say, okay, Lord, I have to trust your plans. I had to die to my dreams and I had to die to myself. And then it was literally 10 years later when I was in my mid 30s. I'm now 41. I was in my mid 30s. And overnight, it was as if overnight, God opened up all of those dreams that he had told me, given me pictures of. I just had fragments of what it was that my life was to be about. And I discovered that it wasn't about the big thing. It was about learning to trust him in the here and the now. And that my calling was not to a location or even to a job or to a role, but my calling was to follow his voice. And so that has led me now in the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. Really, I'm just leaning in and going, okay, Lord, whatever you have today, that's what I'm going to be about. I'm going to go where I'm sent. I'm going to stay where I'm planted, and I'm going to invest as though I'm going to be here for a lifetime and be ready to leave at a moment's notice, to hold on, you know, to hold on loosely enough. I think sometimes in our lives, I know for myself, I want to step into something and then I take ownership of it and I hold it so tightly. And the Lord's really been teaching me to hold things with open hands. And so it's been a journey. I mean, that's a flash of, you know, 30 years of life since I was a 10-year-old. But I will say it is the greatest joy and the greatest privilege to follow Jesus, because those dreams that I thought that I had pictures of when I was 20, I know now that if I would have been allowed by the Lord to step into those things, I don't know that I would have survived them. There were things now that the perspective, you know, as you grow older, your perspective starts to change and you start to become more grounded in just who you are and whose you are rather than in what you're doing. And so for me, it's been an absolute privilege to see God do what only God can do. And the best part is, Gordon, is that all of the things between my wife and I have now been married for 18 years, and we have two children, a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old, from a family side, from a ministry side, local church ministry, to writing and producing music and singing and leading people in worship, any of it and all of it. I step back and I go, I had nothing to do with this. This is the kindness of the Lord. All credit to him and all glory to him. And I am living in that place of going, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one who's going to hold on to it. And so I'm going to put my trust in him as we walk into that. And so you asked about Revere. Revere is something that we have, I've now begun being involved with over the last 3 or 4 years, something that we started right before the COVID pandemic. And Revere is less of a project and it's more of an idea. And it's about, and it's even not even one that we invented or created. It's really about people coming together before a holy God and fixing the focus of our songs and our worship on him. And, you know, in an era and a world where many of the songs that we sing in the church kind of revolve around us and what God can do for us, it's really a calling to say, let's return to elevating the name of Jesus and letting that be enough. And we receive the benefits and the byproducts of his holiness and his worthiness, but let's focus the subject matter of our songs and the heart of our worship not on how good God is and how much that benefits our lives, but on how good God is because God is good, and how holy God is because God is set apart. And so it's an absolute privilege to get to share, you know, just a little bit of kind of what I've walked through. But my hope is that that would maybe encourage somebody wherever they're at in that stage of the journey, you know, whether you're early on or you're in the middle of it, to say, okay, I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. And I have pictures of maybe what my life's supposed to be about, but I'm going to choose to take the path that's less traveled maybe, and choose to not try and scheme and manipulate and manufacture things into reality, but to trust the Lord with my life and my future.
Wow. I tell you what, it sounds like you've got to a really fantastic place on your journey with Jesus, because if you can just hold everything lightly, and it doesn't sound like you're stressing about where God's taking you next, you just want to faithfully follow him, then actually, although it doesn't mean everything's going to work out brilliantly all the time, mm-hmm. it means wherever you're finding yourself, if you're following the call of his voice, you can, in that situation, be content and go, I'm just where Jesus needs me right now. It's a really common thing for a lot of people, myself included. You strive to try and achieve the things that are your dreams. And it just sounds wonderful the way. And you know what's interesting? The way that sometimes in these interviews, themes come through, because I can think of at least two other artists who have said over the last couple of months that it was when they laid everything down and they said, actually, not my will, but yours be done. Mm-hmm. These dreams, they don't need to happen. I'm going to just say, I want to dream your dreams. And then God started to then open things up once their character was at the right place. You mentioned if you'd had all your dreams back then, maybe you can cope with it. So it's great the way that God wants to release things to us when they don't harm us. So
that's so good.
You got to tell us more about Revere though. So
yes,
who is involved in Revere?
There are it is dozens and dozens of songwriters and worship leaders, many of whom you maybe have heard of and know. From the very, very first project we did, it was everyone from Doe to David and Nicole Binion and Leland and Thrive Worship and Corey Voss and Sarah Kroger and Darlene Check and William McDowell. And then it moved on to being Mission House. And we've just now released a recording, a project that we recorded last October in Nashville, a live recording with people from all over the world. So there was Phil Thompson and Carrington Gaines, and from Brazil we had Julia Victoria and Gabriel Guedes and Gabi Sampaio, and we had David and Nicole Binion again, and Mitch Wong and Steph Wong and Thrive Worship and Leland and May Angelis and Joseph Espinosa. I mean, it is
huge.
And it's been a privilege, because what we've seen over the last few years is this little kind of sub community in our world begin to emerge, where we're gathering writers throughout different times in the year, whether it's on Zoom or in person, and just challenging the thought process of what is it that we're writing about, that we are responsible. You know, I have a friend who says, many people will not remember a 40-minute sermon, but most will remember a 4-minute song. And the reality is that much of the theology that we receive and have and live with in our world, in our Christian understanding of what faith is based off of the songs that we sing. And so there is a huge responsibility and a huge mantle that is placed on those that are the ones that are helping to give language to what it is that we believe. And so we want to steward that really, really well. We're not experts, and we're a bunch of people who are really just trying to say, let's be humble people before a humble Christ, and let's lean in and experience God's goodness together. So we have many artists and many songwriters, and it's been so special. John Brevere spoke and has a track on the project just around kind of the ideas of the fear of the Lord, which is the theme of this project. This record is called The Mystery of Christ, because we really believe that it is a mystery, and there are layers to the character and nature of Christ. And so often we just, you know, we kind of simplify it down to Jesus is my friend and we're good. And it's like, no, there's more, there's richness, there's history, there's heritage, there's something deep there for us to grab a hold of. And so it's really, really, really fun. It's championed by Integrity Music, which is a music group. And the best way I have described it, Gordon, to people is I grew up in the 80s and the 90s in the Integrity Hosanna worship era. And it's almost as if this is like the returning of Integrity Hosanna in 2020, 2023. So it's kind of that idea of let's gather people and have it less about a specific artist and more about the collective story that God is telling through all of these different people and different streams coming together.
Wow. Well, I've got to say, it's a phenomenal piece of work, and it really is. It's epic. You don't feel shortchanged with this album. I'll tell you that. There are 17 tracks on it, an hour and 38 minutes. I mean, sometimes people release an album and I listen to it, and it might be fantastic quality, but I go, oh, a little bit short, could you have a few more tracks on it? Because think it's great, but there's maybe seven tracks on it or whatever. And you're, oh, it's, it's like a long EP. But this is like, this is a huge meal of a worship album. And there's a track on there that's over 11 minutes long. So, which we will have as the final track of our thing. We won't manage to play the whole thing, obviously, but it really gives you time to spend worshiping. If you're listening at home and you're thinking, I'd like to find an album that will just take me on a worship journey, this is a great one to put on. I would recommend, but you're going to need to make some space. So you don't want to just dip into one of the tracks and put it on. You want to just enjoy the whole experience. That I know you said you're not experts. You know, maybe not compared to the average person. You've got some gifting, and it's something that you can release and take us on these sorts of worship journeys. So so I know you humbly said you're not an expert, but we're all learning. We've all got more to learn. You never finish learning how to worship. So so you're still perhaps beginners, but you're further along than the rest of us, maybe. So
for sure.
So it's a lovely, lovely album.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it made my prep harder because there was so much to listen to, but it was good. So I'm very, very grateful to have had that time just worshiping in it. So definitely want to recommend that to everybody at home to look up Revere on your favorite streaming platform, The Mystery of Christ Live. So talking about worship, have there been for you some moments in worship for you personally where you go, this has been just life-changing encounter? And if so, can you tell us about them?
Yeah, you know, I think many people want to lean towards thinking about the moments when I was at a big conference and there was all of, you know, there was a crowd of people. And there have been moments like that that have been really, really beautiful and meaningful. But there's a couple that come to mind that really have been the most, left the greatest impression on my heart. And one of which is sitting at this piano right here, down in this studio room where I work and create, and singing a song that no one else is ever going to hear, and just me and Jesus. Because I think I'm learning that we, as people who are leading and facilitating worship experiences, our tendency sometimes to focus so much on what's going to happen with everyone else that we feel like it's our responsibility to direct or dictate how things move. And like we were talking earlier about just having open hands, I think I'm learning that for me to be there, I have to see my role as being a facilitator and just being one that says, let's open the door and let's step in together. And so the best way that I keep my heart tender to that is having moments where I'm not recording a voice memo thinking, oh, how can I capture this idea for someone or something else? But it's just like, Lord, I want to acknowledge you. I want to revere you. I want to be reminded of who you are. Would you keep my heart tender and soft? Another that comes to mind is when I was in my late teens, I was starting to lead worship. And I was kind of the part of my story I didn't tell you was that I was tricked into leading worship. So I had a pastor who said, hey, you play guitar and you sing a little bit. I said, yeah, I was a drummer at the time and I just was happy to be in the background. He said, hey, could you just fill in and lead worship? I was a 17-year-old senior in high school, 18 years old. He said, would you be willing to just lead worship for our students on Sunday morning? We need somebody to fill in. And I said, oh, I guess I can do that. So I filled in on Sunday. And then the next week he said, hey, could you fill in again? And I said, yeah, I can do that again. And then the third week he said, would you fill in again? And after 3 weeks, I'm thinking, what is going on here? And he said, well, the guy who has been leading, he just actually moved. And I'm thinking maybe you should just step into this role. And so I began learning how to lead worship with high school students who had just hearts and availability and maybe not as much ability. And so I spent my early years having moments of worship where it wasn't the most pristine or perfect, but our heart intent was pure. And so I remember moments with high school students where I began learning how to kind of teach the posture of worship. Like, why do we sing? Why do we lift our hands? And each and every time we would gather, I would just share one little thought of like, hey, we lift our hands as a sign of surrender. And it's like when you were a little kid and you would reach up towards your parent when you wanted to be close or to be held. And so sometimes we just, it's like we're reaching out to God to say, God, I'm reaching for you. And so I would take moments like that, and I will never forget seeing a room full of high school students. And I never said, everybody lift your hands. I just said, if at some point you feel like your heart response says, Lord, I want to reach out to you, then I just want to encourage you, when you feel like that, just go ahead and close your eyes and lift your hands. And I remember I had my eyes closed and I was singing. And I opened my eyes and there's a room of, I mean, there's maybe 30 or 35 high school students. So it's a small group of people. And it was, everybody's hands were in the air, and it wasn't about that expression, but there was something that happens when people are willing to say, I'm going to step outside of my pride. You know, when you're in high school, you think you're pretty cool and you care about what people think and how you look, and you're more concerned about the person next to you maybe than about what you're actually thinking or singing about. And I will never forget, seared in my mind, that picture of high school students with their hands in the air saying, I surrender to you, Jesus. And so those are some of the moments that kind of drive me, and that, you know, as you asked, were really meaningful and marking on my life. I would love to know if you have one that comes to mind for you, because I would love to hear that as well.
Well, that's kind of you to ask. I hadn't expected to be questioned, but I can.
So sorry.
No, it's absolutely fine. So there will probably be numbers of worship moments, but actually there's a moment that when I was probably about 19, I think, and I was driving in my car by myself, and I just said to God, I really want to make sure I'm living my life full out for you and being serious with you. And I remember pulling over my car at the side of the road, just down a back street, and just pausing just to tell God, I'm absolutely all in. I'm totally going to go for this. Mm. I'm here for you. And it was a profound moment. And it wasn't song worship, but it was absolutely a laying everything down moment. And that I think was a moment that changed my direction, just secured where I was heading, and beautiful. Made sure God's been at the front of it. So younger me, but looking back, I think younger me made some wise choices. So that was okay. Just being serious with God, giving him the space, and I could have just kept on driving, but thought, well, I've said that, but I just needed to stop. And I probably stayed there for, I don't know, 5-10 minutes while just make sure everything was with God, which was good. So
beautiful.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah. That's kind of you to ask. We've got another track to play from you. The track's called Glory Be. Tell us all about Glory Be. Why did you write it? Who's it for?
Well, Glory Be is a song. It was written by Sarah Kroger and Mitch Wong and myself. And Sarah came to us and said, Sarah's a Catholic. And she said, there is a Catholic prayer that we pray at the end of every gathering for as long as I can remember. And it's this simple prayer that says, glory be to the Father, glory be to the Son, glory be to the Spirit, as it was in the beginning, so it will be in the end. And so Glory Be was our attempt to take a old prayer creed that has been a staple in one stream of the church for centuries, and to let it become like almost a benediction. And so on the recording, there is an actual benediction that was written and that was shared before the song. And we did this recording in a room. There was probably 125 people that were there. So it was a small gathering. So this black box, we called it a black box. It was in the middle of a production company's warehouse. So this big black box, and we had kind of a platform in the middle of the room, and we had seats with people, and we took a 10-minute break, and we pulled the piano down into the middle of the room, and we got rid of all of the chairs, and Dwan Hill played piano. Dwan and I and Mae Angelis came down, and we had all of the artists pile back up on the stage and all in a round, and we put everybody just kind of in the round, and we closed our night with this song. And it was the night was special. And then when this happened, it was like, it was one of these holy moments where you had this sense of, wow, the Lord has descended on us. And I will say, it was not a moment of hype. You know, there are some moments where they're highly emotional and they're charged and you feel like, oh yeah, we're revving people up. This was like, there was a groundswell within the hearts of the people in the room. And to sing the simple prayer, glory be to the Father and glory be to the Son. And at the end, it goes into this just big crescendo of singing the word amen, which just means so be it, let it be done. And so this idea of, hey, before darkness and light, Jesus was, that we worship the God, the Father, and the Son that has pre-existed since before time and will exist when time is no more. And we have the privilege to step in and to join with the angels and the saints for centuries and generations before and generations to come with one voice, lifting up the one and only name together. And so it is a song that has become kind of an anthem for us to just say, we want the glory not to be to us, but the glory be to you and to you alone.
Walk the pages of time. You paid the ultimate price. You, there is none who's more worthy than you. Glory be, glory be to the Father, glory be to the Son, glory be to the Spirit. God is three in one, as it was in the beginning, it will be at the end. Glory be, glory be, amen.
And that was Glory Be by Revere, and I'm so pleased that Mark Allen, Schoolmeister, is still with us today to talk to us about, well, his life and also Revere and what's been going on there as well. But right now, Mark, it'd be really great if you were happy to pray for listeners.
I would love to. Let's pray together. If you're driving in a car, maybe keep your eyes open, but if you want to just pause, let's pause. God, we acknowledge you. And I pray in this moment, whether it's by listening to a song or seeing a sunrise or a sunset or the beauty of nature and seeing stars out at night or hearing birds, I pray that people who are listening today would encounter you. And I pray that you would continue. You are constantly making yourself known to us. I pray that we become aware. Whether we've known of you or known you for a long time, or we're just starting to think about you, I pray that you would increase our awareness of you and that your reality would become tangible to us. And so I pray that our experience of you would not be limited to a song, not be limited just to a moment, but it would be much, much bigger and deeper and broader than that. And so, Lord, would you meet us right where we're at, whether our season is broken or we are on the mountaintop and everything in between. Lord, we invite you. We know that part of what makes you so significant, Jesus, is that you step into our reality and you don't just try and extract us from it, but you join us in our suffering. And so I pray that as we suffer, as we journey, as we walk, I pray that we would know that you are right there with us. And so, Lord, would your blessing and your kindness be sensed and available to each and every person under the sound of my voice today? And we pray that you would get the credit that you're due for the work that you're doing, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mark Allen. So what church do you go to?
I'm at a church in the United States called Eagle Brook Church. It's a church up in Minnesota. So I'm in the northern part of the country and leading worship and a part of a team of musicians there and have a community of other people that were trying to figure out how to follow Jesus. And it's interesting, you talked about how following Jesus isn't boring. And I think it's actually a lot of fun. And we laugh a lot. We joke around a lot. I think that God has a sense of humor and that we're made in God's image. And so everything that we find delight in, I think, is part of a picture of God's character and nature. And so it's been a real joy to get to follow Jesus with people going, hey, we're not perfect and we're not going to pretend to be perfect, but we're going to put our trust in Jesus and we're going to walk this thing out together and we're going to have grace for each other and know that God has grace for us.
Yeah. Church is family. Families can be messy.
Yeah.
But also families can be enormous fun. What do you do with your family for fun?
We love to go on bike rides. So my son is 14 and we love to go out on the road. Last week we went for the first time on this, it's like a backwoods trail. They call it a single track. I've never done this before, but you take a mountain bike and you're going, you know, dodging and weaving between trees and rocks and going over bridges. It's exhilarating. And I got done after about 20 minutes and I was like, oh, that was a full body workout. So we love to go on walks, and we have a little puppy that we love to take him on walks, and we love to ride bikes and spend time together outside. We live in Minnesota where it is snowing from about October and November until March. And Whoa. So it's cold. So we'll go skiing. It's like mountain skiing, but we don't have mountains here. So we just downhill ski on big hills. And that's what we like to do in the wintertime. And then it's spend time outside in the summer.
Wow. That sounds pretty cool. So did you cross country skiing or is it just downhill?
It's just downhill. I grew up cross country skiing and downhill skiing, but we're just doing downhill now these days.
Okay. So downhill always seems a bit easier to me.
Yes.
So you're not exactly far from Canada, basically.
No, yeah, we're from the border of Canada. We're about 4 or 5 hours car ride.
Yeah, in US terms, that's close. In the UK, that's miles away. But yeah, okay. So mountain biking, just to say, I used to be in a mountain biking team. You wouldn't believe it. Look at me now. But I actually had a cycling accident which stuck me in hospital for a week. So if you are cycling, I would say stick a helmet on your head because it saved my life.
Yes.
That's just a general public safety announcement that I thought I'd make in the middle of my show. But so if you're off-road, definitely be wearing them. Okay, and so that's your son who's 14. Mm-hmm. Your other child, boy or girl?
My daughter, she is 12 and she is a competitive dancer. So she's, you know, doing ballet and tap and hip hop and lyrical dance. And so what that means is that she's at a dance studio often. So we'll be going to see her compete with her team and do solos. And so I'll spend a lot of time just being a parent of a dancer and just enjoying watching her do what she was made to do. So it's a real privilege to watch them, you know, have each of their strengths. My son loves to play the drums and my daughter loves to dance. And so we just, you know, God makes us each unique and with different things that make us tick. And it's so fun as a parent to get to see your kids come alive and see what God has made them to be.
And for your kids, 12 and 14, are they both loving church as well?
Yes, they are. Yeah, they go on Wednesdays. They'll come on Sunday with us as a family, but Wednesdays they have kind of their youth group or their student group. And, you know, they're with their peers and they're learning to follow Jesus with people who are going through the same thing that they are in middle school. And so it's a privilege to watch them, you know, learn to have their faith not be mom and dad's, but the beginning of their faith becoming their own. And they have all the questions, and the world that they're growing up in is so complicated. And yet we just have said as parents, we don't think God is afraid of our questions. And so we're not going to be afraid of the questions either. And so we're going to wrestle through questions of faith and go back to what does the Bible actually say, and do our best to raise our children in a way that honors the Lord till the day that they leave our house, that hopefully the things that they've had put into them and they've learned will carry them through and their faith will become their own.
Yeah, that's probably all Christian parents' prayer for their kids, is their kids will come to know Jesus. And what do you feel in the US at the moment is the biggest challenge facing teenagers?
I think the biggest challenge is identity, in that everything they see, you know, it's a generation that is being raised on social media. And so they see what everyone else and what everything else is, and they're trying to figure out who they are in the midst of all of that. And, you know, when I grew up, we didn't have all these other voices and things and so many things coming at us all the time with so many messages. And so we're seeing with our kids, and I think with all the kids, that many of them are just dying to have someone affirm them. Like Jesus, when he was baptized, it was his father who said, "You are my son. With you, I am well pleased." Before he did anything, his father was pleased and affirmed and said, "You're good enough. You are mine." And I think the children of this generation are seeking that type of approval, and they don't know where to find it, whether they're going to find it in their parents or not. But everyone is looking for something or someone to say, "You matter. You're significant. You're enough." And I think the message that I am seeing the kids wrestle through is, "Who am I? Am I enough?" That's the question they all ask. And they're constantly trying to project and to find and discover and post and get the likes and to see the people affirm. And it all comes down to that simple thing of, is my identity? Do I know that God says I'm enough? That God says I am his child, and that's sufficient. And I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to strive. I don't have to accomplish anything to earn that love. I just get to step into it and receive it. So that's where I sense, I think that's the uphill climb for this next generation is, Lord, would you make yourself known so that each child would step into life with that confidence of, I don't need anyone's approval because God has spoken and that's enough.
Wow. Yeah. I think people say, sometimes quite glibly, Jesus is the answer. But being realistic, when we're talking about identity, there's no doubt that Jesus has the answers that people are desperately seeking. I think I saw a stat this week from a mental health charity that said 41% of Gen Zers are struggling with mental health issues. That to me sounds like extraordinary situation to find ourselves in. I know that God has answers to all the different struggles that people are going through. It's not always the easy answer. It's not just solve the problem.
Right.
It's definitely not a magic wand, but if you can ask questions of God and interrogate the Bible, and it stands up to scrutiny. So I think it's one of the things that you're right. You need to help your kids with those big questions and then look to see, what does God say about them? So helpful. Okay. So, you know, we talked about social media and how bad and negative it can be, but there is some good stuff on social
Absolutely.
Media, I guess. Are you on social media?
I am on social media.
So if people want to connect with you to maybe get some of that goodness, how do they find you?
My profile would be Mark Allan Schoolmeesters, MarkAlan Schoolmeesters is Schoolmeesters. So I'm just at Mark Allan Schoolmeesters on all of the platforms, or you can also go to at Revere _ live will be where Revere's profile is for social media as well. And we have with Revere, we have resources on YouTube. We have a 24-hour channel of worship music that's constantly playing that you can tap into any time of the day, no matter where you're at in the world. And then there's resources as well on Instagram and other social media platforms as well.
Wow. 24-hour worship. You can just go and...
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty nice. So that's generous of you. One thing I don't like about YouTube is the adverts. So there you are worshiping and an advert comes. I would have to pay for the package without the advert. So I was going to do 24-hour worship stint with that because that's what do my head in.
Yes.
But other than that, that sounds really, really great. So you can actually join in with some of the worship sets there. That's lovely. And things like, obviously some of these songs will be songs that people might want to take into their church and things like that. What about, is there a way to find out how to play them in your church?
Yeah, we have all of the actual tracks are available at multitracks.com. And as well as we have chord charts at integritymusic.com. There's going to be links there to get to the projects and to get a hold of all of the chord charts and things that you might want to have for the songs if you want to be able to use them and share them. And, you know, like you said, integrity, the heartbeat of integrity is to really provide resources to help support the local church. And so if they serve your context in your community, then that's a privilege for us to get to partner with you wherever you are all around the world.
Sounds fantastic. What a great thing. I would encourage people to go and take a look at those resources, because maybe, even if you're not leading worship yourself in church, maybe you could go and drop an email to your worship leader saying, hey, I found this great stuff, because it might really bless some people hugely. That would be my recommendation. So I guess it'd be interesting to know about the Bible, though, because I'm clearly, you're talking about singing truth. I'd like to know, what's your favorite Bible story and why?
My favorite is David. When David is in the field, it says that Saul was tormented and needed someone to soothe him. And so he said, send for someone. And they said, well, you should have David come. And it was interesting that they said, he is a man of, he's gifted. But they didn't stop there. And he was a man of noble character. And he was a man who was fine looking. He took care of himself. He had self-care. And finally, the Lord was with him. And to me, that's a reminder and a picture of the things that are the ingredients that are so important for us to be available to God. Oftentimes, we just want to have the talent and think, okay, I'm gifted. I've got talent. Therefore, my gift shall make room for me. And I should just be able to just do what I want because I'm good at it. But it's more than just your gift. It's that you have character. It's that you actually take care of yourself and you have dignity in who God has made you to be. And the Lord is with you. And so for me, it's that picture of David. I see some things in David. I don't see all the things. David was this mighty man who also fell in a big way. But there's things that I resonate with David in that he would often withdraw to the fields and he would just write songs and just process with God. I feel like that's how I handle life, is the same way, in a similar manner. And so that's the story that is still to this day is one of my favorites. My favorite verse is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 15. And it says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, and in quietness and trust is your strength. And then it goes on to say, and you would have none of it. And so you will run and your pursuers will be more swift. And I think it's my favorite verse because most of our lives, the way that we live our lives is not that repentance and rest is where we find our salvation. We find our salvation in our pride and our busyness. And we find our strength not in quietness and trust, but in activity and in self-reliance. And so it's the verse to me that cuts at the core of who I am that reminds me, oh, buddy, your instinct is to want to lean on you and on your abilities and your strengths and your experience. You have to remember to return, to be repentant and restful, to be quiet and trusting. And that is where you are going to find your strength, and that is where you're going to find your salvation.
Yeah. Wow. Ooh. And if I can just speak into being quiet, I tell you what, very bad thing for a radio presenter to talk about. But I'm going to just say this, make some space in your life to be quiet and to have some peace. So yesterday, my wife and I went for a walk. Oh, we went to a place called the New Forest, beautiful forest. And it just chucked with rain just as we were arriving really heavily. And there was this fantastic rainbow. And it's like, oh, this is great. And we were on our walk and we were just praying together. And then I said, oh, why don't we try just having 5 minutes of quiet? And so I set a timer. And just for 5 minutes, we just walked holding hands, just enjoying the beauty that was around us, God's amazing creation. So in the middle of life being really hectic, it's really good, good to find that space of quiet as well. So I don't want to tell you to turn off the radio, but sometimes turn off the radio.
Yes.
And just go and sit down with Jesus and just reflect on the stuff that's good around you. And make space to hear his voice. That would be my encouragement. Quiet is, sometimes I think people are scared of quiet and they put on the radio and they put on the music to fill all the space so they're not alone. But sometimes being alone with God and what he's made is, there couldn't be a better place to be. I think it's a really healing Agreed. Space. So just thought I'd pick up on
so
quiet.
Said.
Okay, so for yourself, you've mentioned worshiping. I love that, just worshiping by yourself. For people who perhaps haven't really been on this journey yet, they don't know much about, well, how and why am I worshiping? What would that look like? What tips would you have for people who want to try and go further in worship, and why are they doing it?
That's a great question. I think at the core of it, we were all made to worship, and we all worship something. So we're talking today somewhat about musical worship, as in singing a song that gives credit to God for who God is and what God has done. But I would encourage you to think about, what is your favorite sporting team? If you have a sports team that you follow, if you ever have gone to a stadium and you see people cheering, they're cheering on their favorite player or their favorite team, and they're being a fan. That's worship. It's celebrating. It's acknowledging someone or something outside of yourself. And so when you start talking about worshiping God, it's doing that same thing, but it's acknowledging God who is outside of yourself for what God has done. So it could be as simple as, like you said yesterday, taking a walk in the forest and seeing a rainbow, or seeing the rustling of the leaves and just pausing and looking up and going, someone made this. Someone created this. Wow, that's worship. And so I would encourage you to take a step in the direction of doing something that allows you to see something that you didn't make, something that you didn't create, something that has existed. Go in your backyard, or go to a forest, or go to a lake, or go to a pond, and just listen and look and experience what it is and acknowledge, okay, whether I know who God is or have an understanding or not, God, you created this. You made beautiful things. I give you credit. This is pretty cool. That's worship. And so that's one way that you could begin. Another way is to take some of the resources that you've been suggesting of songs. That's what worship music is. It's songs that acknowledge God's authorship and creativity, that say, God, you're great. God, you made this. God, we're giving you credit. And it's giving us language so that our hearts and our minds are reminded, because I'm a forgetful person. I forget so easily that God is at work, and I forget what I learned yesterday, and I'm dumb enough to repeat the same mistakes today. And so sometimes hearing a song that then gets stuck in my mind, that I go, oh yeah, you are worthy. Okay, what does worthy mean? It means they're like deserving of credit. Okay, yeah, you're deserving of credit. You know, it's thinking about what it is that we're actually singing. And so taking these songs, whether it's taking these songs on a walk or just taking a walk and experiencing the beauty of nature, I think there is so much that's all around us that points us to the existence of a God that wasn't accidental, that our lives are not just a blip on the radar and just happen to be here, but there's purpose and there's meaning to it. And when we step outside and say, okay, I don't know fully how this all works, but I recognize that there's someone who's behind all of this. It's too good. It's like the best movie scene. You're like, someone had to have thought this through. It was not accidental that we are living with beautiful scenery and in beautiful places with beautiful people that are around us. Something's up with this. And I want to find more. That's what worship is. That's the way I would begin, is to just step in that direction with openness and say, I don't know what this looks like, but I'm open. So God, would you make yourself known? And I'm almost convinced, I'm almost certain that if you make that bold prayer and you take that courageous step, that you're going to be surprised in the days and the hours that come, that someone's going to cross your path or something is going to cross your path that is going to go, oh yeah, this is a little bit of what I just prayed for. I'm getting an answer to my prayer, because God wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to make his presence known, and he wants us to grow in our awareness and our understanding and our admiration and our love for him.
Wow. Well, what an encouragement, what a beautiful answer. Thanks so very much, Mark Allen.
Welcome.
Question about when you're leading worship, particularly in fact with those high schoolers, who were your inspirations as you were growing up? Who were the singer songwriters, bands, worship leaders that you went, oh, these guys are so helpful for me in my worship journey?
I have so many, but in those early years, it was Delirious. It was Matt Redman. It was Chris Tomlin. It was, even before that, it was Lincoln Brewster and Danny Chambers and Paul Balazs and Darlene Check. And it was just people that are still to this day, many of my heroes. And they're people that just were honest and on a journey of figuring out, okay, we're going to lead worship. You know, Delirious, I remember when I was 16 and I got my driver's license, King of Fools was the album. That was the CD at the time that I put in my car. My first day I drove a car for the first time as a 16-year-old. And that was my soundtrack for the next year of my life, that album. And so there are many, many, many people that have shaped, you know, my perspective of who God is. And each of them, I think, never settled for saying they figured it out. They all were in a place of, let me remain with awe and let me remain with wonder. And that has encouraged and inspired me. But many of them are from the UK. The UK has been a huge part in shaping my story.
Yeah, Delirious and Matt, absolutely. If there was one song and you only had one song for the rest of your life, which song? So it's going to be in your car CD player and it's stuck on just that track. Which track would it be that you'd choose?
That's a really, really interesting question. I think I'm going to break the rules and I'm going to answer with two. I think I'm going to answer your question two ways. One is, what's the one song that I wrote that I would, if I could only sing one song for the rest of my life, that would be one. And then the other is, what is the song that I'm going to continue to come back to? The song that is a song called My Only Response. And it's a song that I wrote in a really, really difficult season over the last few years. And it says, basically, no matter what I face, let praise be my only response. It's my only option is to give God thanks, whether seasons are good or seasons are not. And then the song that has been a staple for many, many years, Matt Redman wrote it. It's called The Heart of Worship. And this old song, I still can't get past and can't shake, just to strip it all away and to come back to reminding my heart, you know what? It's not about anything that we add to it. Although all of those things are good, about the things that we contribute and add to the song and to the experience. But Lord, we're coming back. And let us stay back at that heart of worship that's just pure and just says, it's all about you. It's not about what we make it. It's not about what we add to it.
Wow. Brilliant, brilliant choices. So, Matt Redman, that one probably be quite high up my list. I couldn't really do it. I don't know how I'd get down to just one track. So
that's a hard question. My answer might be different next week.
Yeah, that's fair enough, but you can't change it. You have to stick with it.
I'm grafted in for life now.
We've got time for one more track from you. What's the track called, Mark?
It is called The Name of the Lord. It's a song that was written by Dwan Hill and Addison Bevere and Mitch Wong. And it's a simple song that reminds us of who the name of the Lord is, that he's holy, he's worthy. And it's led by Leland and May Angelis and Joseph Espinoza. And it is a song that turned into an 11-ish minute song. And we continue just to kind of sit in this moment. So I don't know that we'll get to hear the full 11-minute version today, but it is such a simple and yet powerful song. The verses say that you will prove yourself holy to the nations by our love. That not just that we sing the right songs, but that God's character will be proven and reinforced by the way that we live our lives. And so, Lord, let your name be glorified, not just in our song, but also in our lives. And it's the prayer that we pray as we go, that it's easy to sing a song with a group of people, but it's a lot harder to go live the message of that song in the rest of the days of our week. And so it's a commissioning to say, let's go, let's live the name of the Lord in the way that we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
For the sake of your great name, death is defeated.
And that was The Name of the Lord by Revere. Just a reminder, that album is called The Mystery of Christ. And thank you so very much to Mark Allen Schoolmeesters for joining us today on The Artist Interview. What a joy to meet him. So grateful for his ministry and his passion to see people worshipping. Just say there are many other interviews from wonderful people, great music and stories here. Just pop onto your favourite podcast platform and search up The Artist Interview Podcast. It's the one with the red logo. Share it with your friends. There's so much blessing in it, so much truth of God, and so much for you to enjoy. And I look forward to being with you on the next episode of The Artist Interview. God bless you.
You've been listening to The Artist Interview, a Hope FM podcast. Find us at hopefm.com/The Artist Interview.